Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, you're in for a treat today. Have you been trying to figure out what to do about your estate plan? Have you put it off? Tell the truth. You know, a lot of you have. A lot of people put it off. It's not something that really a lot of people want to deal with. If I don't do my estate plan at will or trust, or whatever it is, I'll live forever. But there's only one way off the planet, and so it's important. And it's very important for families. And sometimes people say, well, I don't have any money, or I don't have that much. Well, it's important for most people. So it's something you want to take a hard look at and make sure you get it done. And the time to do it is yesterday, not tomorrow, because you can't do it if you become incompetent or if, you know, you're already deceased. You can't do it. It's too late. So you want to build your plans and have them properly structured. And there's a lot of considerations. So this is something I talk a lot about with my clients when I'm doing their financial planning. And it's something that if there's an opportunity to bring in an expert, help us talk further about this subject, well, guess what? We do that on this program, and we have that for you today in Karen Weisgerber. She is a licensed psychologist, and we're going to be talking with her about this subject, and she brings a very interesting perspective with her, the psychoanalytics and the psychological aspects. There's a lot of psycho in it. So there's a lot we could talk about here. Website for you, ladies and gentlemen, is cambiumconsultinggroup.com. It's C-A-M-B-I-U-M, cambiumconsultinggroup.com. Let me give a proper introduction of Karen before we dig into the details here. Licensed psychologist and principal consultant, as I mentioned before, for Cambium Consulting Group, Newton, Massachusetts. And she brings a lot of expertise to this subject. Her consulting practice focuses individuals, couples, families around this multifaceted issue of distribution of monies, wealth, siblings and family members, children across the generation, and has worked a lot with, of course, financial professionals as well in this area. She's on the faculty of the Psychoanalytic Institute of New England, and she completed her PhD at Boston College with her clinical training. Was in affiliation with Harvard Medical School, very cool, and where she's continued as an instructor and a clinical supervisor, and of course, author of numerous papers, publications, articles, collaborated on a lot of projects, frequent panelist and speaker at American Psychological Association. So I told you there's a lot of psychological in this. Karen, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Outstanding. Excited to be with you, and I wish we had about 3 hours for this subject, but we'll have to do it under 30. Gosh, where do I start? There's so much to this. This is a big subject for many families, and I kind of set it up that you don't have to have billions of dollars or some ridiculous amount of money for this to be important. It's something that's important for people. Everyday people have to really make sure this is something that they look at and they have the conversations that need to be had with family members, friends, and to get this all put together at the right time, which is, I think, always needs to be now, yesterday, not later. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think, as you said, people often step away from the topic either because they don't really want to talk about their own passing.
Yeah.
But sometimes people actually want to talk about their legacy, their vision, but they get more hung up because they don't want to talk about money.
Yeah.
And they don't want to sit down with their kids and talk about the real dollars and cents that are involved. They worry they might demotivate them. They worry they might give them alternative motives for being connected to them. Worry they might start sibling strife. So both because they might want to not look at their own mortality, but even beyond that, sometimes it's just very complicated for people to talk about money. So there's a lot of things to keep people away from having these really, really important conversations.
Well, you've got like a half a dozen things in there, Karen, that I think are just so important that our heads get in our way, right? It's all mental.
Mm.
I mean, you know, you made the point about, you know, you don't want a false relationship. You don't want somebody all of a sudden to say, you know, golly, you really are my favorite parent. I've always loved you. I mean, you don't want that kind of relationship. Mm. So you want it to be sincere. And the demotivating factor, that's a big one I see with parents that I've talked to. You know, they are planning their own retirements. They're getting their financial house in order. They've got their income. They've got their investments working. But they need to have this a plan for when they can't handle their own affairs or when they do pass on. And they are concerned about letting the kids a little too much in because they don't want to demotivate them. They don't want to create a dependence or expectation. And I've seen them go even follow that all the way through to where with the estate plans, and I've worked as a trustee in this capacity, I've seen people have it where the kids know that they're going to be a beneficiary of this, but they would not get money out of it until they've really reached their own retirement years. So they,
right.
they make sure they don't get demotivated, or at least as much as they can.
Right. And, you know, it's certainly a common story we hear that money will demotivate kids and sort of turn them into couch potatoes. But actually, the research and the experience is really not, doesn't back that up. Money
isn't
a particularly good motivator nor a particularly good demotivator. You know, for some folks, it might be exactly what they need to, you know, they're working on a particular career path or a vision, or they're trying to build a life for themselves, and it might be exactly what they need to carry that really to fruition. So, in fact, when it, at the end of the day, it's far fewer times and situations that money does demotivate.
Yeah.
And usually those are the times when people haven't talked about it. I mean, so we have this sort of catch-22 where people don't want to talk about it because they're afraid. Yet not talking about it is the biggest factor in what makes these things kind of go wrong.
Oh, there's so much that can go wrong. And I got to say that if, you know, I try to imagine, and, you know, we like to think we know how we would act under situations. But, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, you saw the movie with Richard Pryor, Brewster's Millions. Oh, my God. One of my favorite movies. And, you know, if all of a sudden I had a relative I didn't know about, or my parents have been hiding money that I'm not managing for them, that they all of a sudden I find this out, you know, and if I became the beneficiary or inherited a, you know, a very large amount of money, that makes me wonder, would it really change my motivations? And I think the answer is no. And I'm not just saying it because we're on the radio. And, you know, so I think you're right. You know, if you, you know, if you've got somebody who's a kid who's a lazy bum and inherits money, he's still going to be a lazy bum.
Sure.
But
right.
if you've got a hard worker, you know, they're probably going to be a hard worker with money. You know, money
That's
doesn't
right.
change you. It makes you more who you are.
Well, I think, parents become scared that they don't know their children when they know their children better than anybody else, you know, and so they see the children that these kids are, the adults that these kids are becoming, they have a fairly good sense of where they're going, and they're not going to take a dramatic left-hand turn from that course because they have more fuel in the tank. They might go at that course with sort of more vigor and intensity, and so so it really does come down to, and I think you also brought up the surprise factor.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest complications is that parents don't often have the conversation, and then something happens, an event happens, and the money falls into the kids' hands. And if they're not prepared, you know, a lot of things can go wrong because they just don't know how to manage the money. They might not know who to go to for good advice. They might start getting into squabbles with their siblings. Preparation, and communication is really the name of the game.
Boy, isn't it? I mean, what do they call that? I've heard it called sudden wealth syndrome.
Right, exactly.
And it just changes. All of a sudden, you have an entourage to go to dinner with, and you have newfound friends, and it's amazing the things you can find that you never knew you must have to have and have it today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole shift. But, you know, it is an ironic thing, Karen, that by parents, family members, the grantors, the benefactors, taking the time to talk and prepare the next generation for these funds, that they actually can significantly increase the likelihood that that money is not going to be dissipated and could carry on for generations.
Absolutely. I mean, so if parents really think a little bit about, you know, why are they leaving their children or giving their children, because there's also a greater trend now to give money in one's lifetime so you can see your children use it. But, you know, why are they doing that? Why have they amassed any money at all? And as you said before, it doesn't need to be significant wealth to either positively impact or to have a negative impact. That
right.
they, you know, there's, again, the sort of research would say it really isn't the amount that can have these impacts. It really is how it's done. And so when you go back to the adult, you know, the parents' vision, you know, why are they giving the money in the first place? And they usually have some kind of concept. They want their children to have, you know, maybe a leg up, a better life, you know, be able to enjoy a greater leisure time, more family time. So, you know, if those things are their vision, it can be incredibly helpful to communicate that. And something else you brought up is, you know, when they hold the money back until the recipients are themselves in their 60s and 70s, the chance of the money being able to have that kind of impact
Right.
might not, you know, it might not, you know, that may be the way someone needs to set up their right. estate plan, and that's all well and good and can be communicated. But if it's not how they need to do it, it might be worth considering, you know, what could the impact on my children's life and my grandchildren's life be if this were a factor in their lives, you know, at a younger age?
Yeah.
Just a question to ask.
Well, and I love the point about giving it to them so you can see them enjoy it. And I have seen that trend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's, you know, again, there needs to be balance. And you need to, families need to make sure that their own needs are provided for. And, you know, and so often I ask about the priorities that people have. And I hear consistently, we need to make sure our needs are met first, but we certainly would like to leave money. And if we can, we'd like to help them some during our lifetime to see them enjoy it and all those, you know, positive things.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
They definitely have to put their oxygen mask on first. You know, you don't want them to jeopardize their own well-being, their own lifestyle, their own, you know, the years that they have built this money to sustain them for. You certainly don't want people to put that into any kind of jeopardy. And with good advisors like you, that's what they can absolutely do. They can map out their own futures and their own needs. And then, you know, in a number of cases, there's something left, you know, and what they decide to do with that, whether it's giving in their lifetime or after they've passed, you know, they can begin to make informed decisions about that. But there's some real great opportunities family have to enjoy, you know, if there is some bit of money grown or amassed over time, you know, to the experiences that can provide. And sometimes legacy, you know, experience is one of the greatest legacy, you know, not just cash, hardcore
right.
dollars, but really experiences
right.
together are the things that people, you know, really remember and really stick with them through the, you know, next generations.
That's so true. It's all about experiences. This is a great experience we're having, ladies and gentlemen, with Karen Weiss-Gerber, and we're glad to have her on the program, licensed psychologist, and the website, cambiumconsultinggroup.com. We're going to grab a quick break, get a word from our sponsors, and come back with Karen. Stay right there. Thank you.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi. I'm Tony, Chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440. For more information.
Hey, we're back. Glad you're still with us. Karen Weiss-Gerber on the line with us, licensed psychologist, and we're digging into really is a lot of different facets and components to this whole conversation about money moving to the next generation. And I'm very happy to have Karen on the line with us. She's a principal consultant over at Cambium Consulting Group, CAMBIUM, Cambium. CambiumConsultingGroup.com. And you know, before I continue, Karen, I'd love to ask you, you know, if people are listening to us talk about this, they can get in touch with you on the website, they can reach out to you, and you do the consulting services, help people with really mapping these things out and kind of working through it with families?
Oh, sure. You know, we help families in anything from just conversations they want to have. You know, we don't do the estate planning or the you know, actual documents, but we help people figure out the personal and emotional piece that informs that. So we help them think through, you know, what if I have money and my kids do have differing needs? You know, how do I come to terms with that? How do I share that with them so they won't be fighting about that? What do I do if I want to leave money, but I think one of my children should have a prenuptial agreement? What do I, you know, when they have the questions of how, what do I want to do and how can we make it happen? I've got a family in conflict and I want to bring them together, or you know, all the way up to we have a family business, we have a family, you know, some sort of estate or common property, and we want to figure out how to have that go forward to the next generations. How can we do that? So we do that entire range of those kinds of conversations, and then, you know, all the way into if people need to have larger family meetings to do planning and that kind of thing, we certainly do that as well. I mean, a lot of our work obviously involves traveling around because families are dispersed these days. So, you know, we take our show on the road and, and meet with people where, you know, where they live.
That's very good. Well, yeah, I read somewhere, and you may be able to tell me if you've heard the same or experienced it maybe in your travels, average distance in the United States between family members is like 1,200 miles.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It's really amazing. You know, there's so many ways to be connected, which is great.
Thank God.
But the actual real places where people are, it can be, you know, just scattered all over the place.
Well, and that brings up a couple of questions I think it would be helpful to dig into here. Number one, you often have the child that is local and the child that's not, and the child local, of course, gets, you know, maybe more involved with parents' finances or is maybe the one that's asked to serve in some sort of capacity, and or it might be one that because of their more frequent contact, maybe a clearer perception by the parents of a need, that there might be this imbalance or uneven distribution. What do you say, first of all, to the grantors, the parents who are creating these estate plans, where they aren't going to be, you know, quote unquote, equal in their percentages of what they leave to the kids? What would be maybe the best thing? What would be one of the best pieces of advice you would give to them when they are trying to put that all together? Besides telling them about it, I mean, I guess the question is how do they say that? How do they justify that? How do they communicate that?
Sure, I think that, you know, if the biggest thing is for the parents to feel completely settled themselves with their decisions and the reason for it.
Okay.
And so if they feel that there is really an internal validity for them about why they're making this decision and why they're doing what they're doing, that is much easier to communicate to the children because the children, you know, the children can understand, oh, you know, I might not like it, but I really understand what you're thinking about.
Right.
So being able to communicate that is pretty key. And I will say, to the contrary, not communicating it before the time that the estate transitions can be very contentious. Unfortunately, the legacy that can be left in that situation can be a lot of conflict.
I'm going to use even stronger words, Karen. It's going to be a disaster. I've seen some real fights, and I've seen serious legal fees. I've seen lawsuits. I've seen all that, and it some of it, of course, cannot be avoided no matter what because we're dealing with people, right? And not everybody's rational. Not everybody's, you know, mom always gave you an extra scoop of ice cream as a kid, and doggone it, here she is again. You know, so, you know, money is like gasoline poured on those embers of, you know, childhood problems. But, you know, there's another issue that I see that sometimes parents, I just don't think they realize how much of a potentially explosive situation they may have, is where they will name one child as executor or trustee, and that person then is going to be responsible for distributing money to other family members and or even holding money and distributing over time. And I just think that's a very dangerous situation.
Right. And again, you know, there may be appropriate reasons to choose that particular child for that particular role. But again, if that isn't somehow understood amongst the siblings prior to that taking place, it can go very, very poorly. And I go back to, you know, the parents really thinking about what their vision is. Why do they have this? Why are they giving it? What is their vision? If they want that to go well, these things do need to be communicated. And again, the children might not like that son number two was chosen to be executor instead of daughter number one or son number one, or they might not like that, you know, but if the parents can explain their rationale and they feel very settled with it, the children can often accept it and then work with it without conflict. But they have to get to that point in order for it to to go well. So, yes, that the appointing of an executor and the sort of disfavor that people can read into that, and then oftentimes, unfortunately, the disfavorable actions that can come from that can cause a tremendous amount of family conflict and really ruin the whole purpose the parents had in mind of leaving the money in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I don't want it to sound self-serving because it's not, but I do the trustee work, Karen, but I got to tell you, for the cost of a professional trustee,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. I mean, the amount, especially when you have, this dispersion of family members all over, or it's just a potential, it's almost like an insurance policy that you pay mm-hmm. a small premium for harmony. Because, the truth is, very likely somebody's not going to like what the trust or the will says. And mm-hmm. and so, the funny thing I tell my clients is, look, all the kids can be mad at me. Okay, it's okay. Uh-huh. In fact, they could be unified in their displeasure. But I'm going to hold up the trust and say, see this document? This is what I have to do. And if you don't like it, you can take it up with them when you see them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So, not this
right.
life, but the next. So, I mean,
right.
that's just a practicality, because boy, what a mess it can be.
Right. And I think beyond that, I mean, the role of the trustee is vastly underutilized in some cases. I mean, they can be not only can they help family harmony, but they can be mentors. You have two or more children. You don't have two or more equal people with equal acumen in terms of how to use money, how to spend money, what. So it often can be a balancing force, a teaching force. If you choose a good and wise counsel, it can be a remarkable help to a family situation. So I totally agree with you on that score.
Excellent. Well, it's very important, and it's a conversation, and it's all about communication, as is everything, right, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything's about how you communicate and having the communication. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Karen Weiss-Gerber is our guest, licensed psychologist. CambiumConsultingGroup.com is a website, CambiumConsultingGroup.com, CambiumConsultingGroup.com. Take a look. Great information, great resources from Karen and her work there. We're going to take another quick break. Thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Karen. See you right there.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
And welcome back. Karen Weiss-Gerber on the phone with me, licensed psychologist, CambiumConsultingGroup.com is the website. And we're talking about families and money and conversations that need to be had and some of the potential pitfalls if that they haven't been had, those conversations, but also just the importance of doing the planning and also you know, looking at this as something that that deserves professional assistance where appropriate. And, you know, the other thing, of course, big pink elephant in the room, Karen, is the subject of, and we've only got a couple minutes here, but we'll dig into it a little bit, is the subject of blended families. I mean, I know that probably occupies at least 50% of your time.
Right.
So, I mean, another top lesson maybe you can share with our listeners.
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, we're going to sound like we're beating the same drum over and over again, but, you know, communication, again, is going to come down to top number one thing. You know, once you blend families, you are really, you know, depending on how it is done, combining all kinds of personalities and histories and expectations. And you just need, I mean, the parents between themselves need to be clear what their vision is for, you know, how blended do these families become. And, you know, oftentimes, depending on the age at which the families become blended, there's a fair amount of, you know, miles on the tires in a way for the children's lives. And they don't need to really, you know, and that informs a different scenario of how much they're going to share financially versus if there are younger kids involved or if they then create, you know, a new family, you know, amongst themselves. And so all of those different things really come down to the parents being very clear about what their vision is for how their resources, their emotional resources, their resources of time, their resources of energy, all of their resources are shared across all of their family members, and for them to feel the parents unified in their vision of that, and again to be clear so that when transitions do happen, there aren't untrue expectations held and then bitterness kind of, you know, brought out as a result of people having ideas of things that simply were not going to be the case.
Yeah, exactly. And especially, you know, as you said, with depending on when it occurs and how long it is and all of that, there's also, of course, that, you know, with these estate plans, there's also the, you know, very often we focus on, understandably, on the at-death transfer of all these assets, but there's also, you know, during the lifetime with incapacity and other situations, the need for assets to be utilized. And it may be that with the blending, you know, there is, you know, if one spouse coming to that relationship has significantly more assets, it may be that these funds are used for the care of the other, that, and again, that might leave less. And so I think that's, again, it's not just at death, but it's also, hey, during our lifetimes, here's how these assets are going to be utilized.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. The couple may turn into a totally different spend rate, different lifestyle, and that may be influenced by one partner's resources, and surely that's then depleting the pile that may go on. And but that may be, you know, if they're making that choice consciously and willfully and of good mind, then and enjoying their lives as they want to, then, you know, hopefully their children are happy for them.
Exactly. You know, you don't have to, you know, that. The bumper sticker says I'm spending my children's inheritance. You don't, you know, a twist on that, you know, I don't recommend putting the sticker that says I'm spending my stepson's inheritance. Not a good idea. If you just joined us, great interview with Karen Weiss-Gerber, licensed psychologist, principal consultant over at CambiumConsultingGroup.com is the website. Karen, great interview. Thank you so much for your insights. Very helpful, and we'd love to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a great conversation. Thanks.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.